Blog Talk Radio.
Royal Dreams. Royal Dreams.
On my team, had to chase my royal dream. You can check sophistication, just evaluate the scene. Ain't it tragic how we pause our power based on what people think? It's time to take it back, cause we can't sit on the bench and die. Long as we divided, we'll never see true meaning. Lost inside division, living only through five senses. Imagine what else you missing inside that little vision. That's why you can't see them demons crawling inside your little kitchen. We gon' stay buzzed like hives and fly to true ambition. Till them numbers just multiply, then we can start to build it. None of you rappers wrong, but all of you rappers old. Why do you choose to be fake and give us the wackest song? We can just make a stand so records and labels can die. I don't need your advance, so I can just bubble and fry. Rather just make a band with all of my brothers and ride. Take over motherland and make all of you governments die.
Ring my bell, think of your crown. Royal dreams, royal dreams. They try on me, run into armies. Royal dreams, royal dreams. I ride into the mud, there's no more fantasy. It's all about who you know, those you call family.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Today is, what is today, March the 1st, Friday, March the 1st of 2019. And the time is 12 noon, a little after 12 noon, Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time on spending as much time as any. Explain. Illuminating and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, we want to talk about who told you men are men. Now, this is a really interesting topic. I know the title is a little strange. It's in line with what we're going to be breaking down on Monday as we start, you know, really delving into the things that we've been taught that we just kind of, you know, take for granted. Kind of like the show I just did talking about food. Who told you food was food? Or who told you this was food? As we broke down and we talked about certain foods that when they are ingested into the body, they don't produce a nutritional benefit. Well, there are certain men that are walking on the earth that are not biologically or they are not mentally, they are not spiritually men, but they look like men, they walk like men, they talk like men, they act like men, but they are not men. So who told you that all men are men? Because we got to examine this, and this comes out of Genesis chapter 18. So again, like everything, we are all good Bible thumpers. Nothing wrong with that. So I should have biblical proof for every statement that I make. Thankfully, I do. So in Genesis chapter 18, we're going to pick up, and again, for the sake of time, I'm not going to like read it verbatim. You can read it yourself in Genesis 18, but I want to highlight certain things in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, who told you men are men? Men are not men. All men and women are not men and women. That's why we got eight different types of, there's Homo erectus, Homo gigantuan, Homo neanderthal, Homo sapien, Homo erectus. Why? Biology tells us, that's the biological proof, there's different types of men. Okay, biblical proof. We've got esoteric proof as well, a non-biblical or non-biological proof. But Genesis 18, verse 2, And he left, or he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. So we're reading a story in Genesis chapter 18 where it says that Abraham was standing in his tent, and three men came toward him, and he went out to meet them, and he was talking to them. But when the thing that first of all stands out, now I don't know if this is customary. Now, when I was in Japan, it was customary to bow when you met a person that was a dignitary, but it wasn't customary to get on your knees. I don't know anywhere. I know, like, when people meet the Pope, there are some people that get on their knees and the Pope will extend his hand and, you know, you kiss the Pope's ring finger. But when we look at this verse, and again, I know you may not have the scripture there with you, but when you get an opportunity, take out your Strong Concordance and take out your lexicon, because remember, your job is to prove me wrong. Your job is not to believe me. Your job is not to go along with me. Your job is to prove me wrong. That's your job. My job is not to prove. My job is to make truthful, biblical, spiritual, and biological and esoteric statements that are true. Now, if you read in your Bible, and if you go to Strong Concordance number H as in Henry, or Hebrew 582, please write that down. Strong Concordance number H582, please write that down. That's the proof. I mean, you got to. Again, I'm a didactic teacher, so I don't teach theory or wishes and dreams. I just teach biblical. I teach biological. Remember, biology inside of my book. I got a 700 pages? 700 or 800 page book called The Ontological History of Mankind. So maybe you're not a Bible thumper. And if you're not a Bible thumper, that's great. So you can use biology and you can look up the different types of mankind. There's a lot of different types of mankind. Again, this is all biologically proven. As you go through the different types of Homo erectus, Homo gigantuan, Homo Neanderthal, this is getting into, again, Homo magnon, Cro-Magnon. All of these are different types of man or mankind. But in this verse, in this scripture in the Bible, this is the definition of the English word man.
582. Enosh. Enosh.
So that word enosh. So we see the word enosh for the English word man. And it has to do, again, it says man as in collective, man as in mankind. And then it gets into talking about in the flower of their age, man meaning in the flower of their age. That's the first letter or first word. That doesn't really give us too much depth, if you will, about this word man. So we go to the next word that makes it the definition.
H605, Anash. Anash.
And we see the word Anash. Anash. So the word Anash has to do with something that is like feeble, something that is frail, as we are, as, you know, mortal beings, if you will. It means something that is, it's a word that means frail, or a word that means sick, Anash. So we have something that is talking about these three men that appeared, and it breaks down in the Hebrew of the word that means sick, anash. And then the first word that we said was, which was in enosh, or enosh, kind of like the word Enoch, but the word enosh, that has to do with a mankind. So it's like a collective group. It's like a general term for what we call Adam or Adam you or the Adama, which has to do with mankind, not necessarily the individual. It's the collective whole. So these were three men that meets the definition of what we would call mankind, the collective whole. So regardless of what type of man as an individual, you still fall into this collective whole, this group. So these three men stood by him, or these three men came to his tent. And let's go back to the story in Genesis, again, chapter 18, verse 2. So these three men, they stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent, and he bowed himself toward the ground. Verse 3, and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Verse 4, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." Now, I don't know if that's customary. I know it was customary back in them days, especially when we're talking about, you know, the ancient Jewish and Hebrew culture. He called those three men Lord. And these were men of royalty based upon how he was treating them. Or maybe they was a dignitary. So there was something different about these men based from the definition of what these men are. Based upon, again, just the outward appearance. Because he says, first of all, "My Lord." So he called these men Lord. Then he said, "If thou have found favor in my sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant," meaning hang out with me. So he's asking three men who came by his tent. He calls them Lord, but they're men. And he says, "Hey, don't leave. Hang out with me." Then he says, "I'm your servant." Three men. Now, it doesn't say if he knew these men or not, or whether they were strangers, but that just seems weird for another man to call another man Lord and ask that man, hey, to grant him favor by hanging out with him. Then in verse 4, he says, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and I wash your feet, and you rest yourself under the tree." So not only he called these men Lord, he said he's their servant. Now he want to wash their feet. Now, that's not customary where I'm from. So there's something different about these three men. Genesis 18:5, "I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye, and comfort ye your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on. From therefore, as ye come to your servant," and they said, "So do as thou hast said." So then, verse 6, it says, "And then Abraham hastened unto the tent, unto Sarah, and said, Make ready, great, 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes unto the hearth." Verse 7, "Abraham ran unto the herd to fetch a calf tender and good, and he gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it." Verse 8, "And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before him, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent." Verse 10, and then he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, because she was behind them." So these three men, they come in, but the way Abraham is acting and the way that the three men are acting, it doesn't sound like these three men are men. That's the point of the message. Who told you that these were men? So now Abraham, it then verse 11, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and were stricken with age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." That means Sarah was past the age. Now three men come out, they hang out, he feeds them, they relaxing, chit-chatting, and they said, "Hey, dude, where's your wife?" And then they dropped this nugget on them. Verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself after I waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham," hold up, time out. So Genesis 8:13 changes from Genesis 1 through Genesis 13. Now, again, let me go back. Abraham was standing in his tent. Three men came walking up to his tent. The way he addressed those three men, they didn't seem like they were men. Who told you they were men? Well, they said that they were men. But how did Abraham address? And then what did the men do? Did they do what men do? The way Abraham, he cooked food for them, he washed their feet, he bowed down to them. Were those really men? This is Genesis 18. Again, read it for yourself. Do not believe me. Your job is to prove me wrong, not to agree with me, to prove me wrong. So it's really interesting because they went in this, that Abraham, he invited them to stay, to have dinner, which was, again, must have been customary in that time. And they hung out with him. But then Genesis 18 goes on to say that then these three men, or at least one of the men, dropped some knowledge on Abraham about his wife getting ready to have a baby or going to have a baby. And she laughed at him and said, like, dude, come on, man. Like, I'm way past childbearing age. So is my husband. But then Abraham addressed the man as Lord again. He says, now remember, up in Genesis, but you have to get into the Bible to see in Genesis 18:3, he says, and my Lord, if thou find favor, that Lord is spelled L-O-R-D, and it's lower caps. It's not all caps. But then when we drop down to Genesis chapter 18, verse 13, he says, and the Lord, all caps, said unto Abraham. Now, all caps and lower caps, that means that's a huge difference in as to who's speaking when you read the Bible. Because it started out in Genesis 18:1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Merim, and he sat in the tent in the heat of the day. So this is Abraham sitting in the tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent, and he bowed himself down to the ground. So the Lord appears to him first. Then three men shows up, and they appear to him. But he doesn't address those men as men the way Genesis 18:2 says that there are. What Genesis 18:1 says that there was, first of all, the Lord in all caps. Then Genesis 18, so again, this has to be somebody different from Genesis 18:1. So Genesis 18:2 says that there were men. Or if they are the same, why is it in Genesis 18:1 they're called Lord, but in Genesis 18:2 they're called men, and it's three of them? Genesis 18:1 is only one person that appears. Genesis 18:2, there's three men that appears. Genesis 18:3, one man appears. Now, am I the only one seeing this? Have y'all got your scriptures open? Genesis 18:1, there's the Lord. Appears unto Abraham. Genesis 18:2, three men stood by Abraham. Genesis 18:3, the Lord, but it's a different Lord because it's different spelling. Or not different spelling, but different capitalization. So in Genesis 18:3, that word Lord means Adonai. And it's lower caps. That's Genesis 18:3. Genesis 18:1, the word Lord is all caps. And it's pronounced Jehovah. Let me play it for you. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Merim, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. When you go to the scriptures, that's Strong Concordance number H3068. Let me read it. Now play it.
3068.
So it says that Jehovah appeared on Abraham in Genesis 18:1. Then it said he lifted up his eyes, and lo, three men stood by him. First, it was Jehovah, the God of gods. Second, Genesis 2, is three men that we broke down, which is Enosh, which simply means mortal or sick, or somebody, obviously not in the same caliber as Genesis 18:1, Lord. Then we go to Genesis 18:3, and it says that the Lord appeared to him. But now, this word Lord means
H136, Adonai, Adonai,
Adonai. So within Genesis 18:1, we have Jehovah. Genesis 18:2, we have Enosh. Genesis 18:3, we have Adonai. Now, you got to let that sink in for a moment. Because most people, it's not going to register. Now, I don't know if you looked up and researched Adonai. It comes from a underlining Greek word. Let me play that.
Strong's H113. Adon. Adon.
Adon, spelled A-D-O-W-N. Adon. That means a strong master, superintendent of household goods, king. Reference to men. So Adonai is a person who is like what I'm doing with the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, someone who has or is the kurios over his house. It means superintendent of household affairs. It means somebody who understands and they have a process in place to establish wealth. They have a process in place to establish health. They have a process in place to establish wisdom. They have a process in place by which to maintain relationships. Adonai. Let me say it again. Again, according to the definition. That's what we got to, again, that's why you got to look that, you got to look that up. Because everybody reads Genesis 18, and they say that that's just talking about man, or it's talking about God, or it's talking about something else, angels. So there's three different people that are referenced as the same person, but they're not. All men are not men. Biblical proof. Again, you got to read it for yourself. There's three different people in three different verses, but they are, or they could be perceived as one because of the wording. So is it the Lord God, Jehovah? Is it Enosh, three men, just a mortal man, a regular guy, regular Joe? Or is it somebody who manages, it is a kurios, somebody who has control over the household management of their soul? They are single standing column of waveform energy. They have mastery over their mind, their will, their emotion, their imagination, and their intellect. That's the five layers of the soul. But then it goes on, and Abraham is doing certain things for these men. Or he's doing certain things for God, or he's doing certain things for the superintendent. We don't know which one it is because it just says, and Abraham hastened unto the tent. Because verse 5 says, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye, your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on. And therefore, ye shall come to your servant and say and do as thou hast said. Verse 6, and Abraham hastened unto the tent and said, Sarah, make quickly three measures of fine meal. So she's making three measures for who? For the three men or for her, Abraham, and one man. So Sarah made three meals. Then verse 7, and Abraham ran to the herd. He fetched a calf that was good and tender, and he gave it unto a young man, one man. What happened to the other two men? And he hastened to dress it. So now that Abraham, he only fed one man. So the other two meals, was it for him and Sarah? What happened to the other two men? Verse 18. And he took butter and milk and calf, and he had dressed it, and he set it before them. Okay, now them means plural, more than one, right? So that means are all three men still there? And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So it's either Abraham, Sarah, and one man, or it's the three men, and Abraham and Sarah are watching the three men eat. We really don't know because it doesn't tell us. But Genesis 18:19 says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? So they, meaning more than one. So that they, the three men, are asking, hey, where's your wife? And he told them, she's in the tent. Verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. So these three men, or it says, I will. So when you say I, that's really talking about one man. So one of these three men ain't a man. One of these three men is the Lord God himself. Or one of these three men is a king that has the power or the authority to grant. Or one of these three men is just a regular guy. Because, again, those are the three different characters that are presented to us in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Of Genesis 18, 1, Genesis 18, 2, Genesis 18, 3. So they said they were men, but all men ain't men. The Bible says be careful when you entertain strangers because you may be entertaining angels unaware. All men ain't men. Because one of these men told Abraham something that a man can't do. A man cannot restore to you your youth. He said, where's your wife? And then he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife will have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, for she was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were both old, and they were stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She couldn't bear children. Verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself after saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old? So she addressed the man as Lord, just like Moses did. Just like Abraham did. So is he Lord? Is he a man? Or is he a king? Or is he all three? We'll be breaking it down on Monday. But let's continue with the story in Genesis 18. So Genesis 18, 14 says, and anything, you know, first of all, Genesis 18, 14, now Sarah laughs because this dude's telling her that she's going to give birth. So 18, 14, the guy responds to her laughter. Is it a guy, though? Genesis 18 says it's not. Genesis 18, 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? So is it the Lord, excuse me, that's hanging out with Abraham, or is it three men? At that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. Verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, now, why or but thou didst laugh? So Sarah was like, okay, maybe this is God. Maybe it's just not a man. Maybe it's not just a king. Maybe it's not just a fancy guy with money in his pocket. So Sarah was kind of like trying to backtrack. I wasn't laughing. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence. Okay, hold up. Time out. She was just talking to God in verse 14. Or God was talking to them. Because Genesis 18, 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe the three men were just referencing the Lord. But the way Sarah and Abraham was reacting to the statement, it wasn't like they were talking to men. Or who told you all men are men? Who told you that all men are men? Because Sarah says, I laugh not, because she was afraid. And then verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them onto the way. So these men are the same men that appears in Genesis 19 in Sodom and Gomorrah. Y'all remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Where in Genesis 19, these three men goes to Sodom and Gomorrah, and it says in Genesis 19, which we're not going to read for the sake of time, but you want to read it because it's going to mess up your theology. Because in Genesis 19, y'all remember the story? Sodom and Gomorrah, that was full of homosexuals. They saw three men, and they looked so good that the men wanted to have sex with those three men. But were they men? Because according to Genesis 18, these wasn't men. At least one of them wasn't a man. Because a man can't make you, if you are old, go back at least internally to be able to give birth to a child. One of those men wasn't a man. I would venture to say two of those men wasn't men. Because the other one was Adonai. And then only one was Enosh. No, only one was feeble or mortal or regular as what we call a man. Are all men men? Who told you that all men are men? Because in Genesis 19, oh man, if I could read that. So these men were so good looking that all the men, in fact, Lot offered his daughters. And the men was like, no, we want to sleep with them. But they called them angels. So are they gods? Are they angels? Or are they men? Or are they all three? Remember option A, option B? I always go with option C. What say ye? Now, I'm not telling y'all what to think. This is between you and your God. I'm just simply saying this is inside your Bible. I'm not making this up. You have to read this, study to show yourself approved unto God, not men. See, this is why I do what I do. I've never heard a reverend, doctor, nor bishop say that, ever. I've been to a lot of churches, a lot of sermons. This is called didactic teaching. This is where you get into the definitions and the meat of the word. And you just don't assume anything. You look up every word. So I looked up the word L-O-R-D, and it means three different things in three different verses. That's what you got to do, the same thing. That's why the Bible is the most profound book on earth, because it's a code. It is written so deep, you cannot just blow past verses the way I'm doing right now. When I study, I don't study like the way this. I'm just doing this for the sake of time. And plus, this is a free message. But this is a pay-per-view message. We'll be breaking it down, as I will be doing on Monday, to prove to you that what you've been taught is not deep enough. It is a version, but it's not the version. We got three men, but they can't be men. Because in Genesis 19, these same three dudes who are led by Abraham. Okay, let me read it again. Genesis 18, 16. And the men rose up from thence, and they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them out the way. Verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? What? Verse 18, Genesis 18, 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So God is like, should I tell Abraham his purpose and everything that I got planned for him? Hold up, but I thought there were three men. Oh, no, hold up. I thought it was Adonai. I thought it was Enoch. Not Enoch, but Enosh. That just means a mortal man, a regular guy. All men are not, who told you all men are men? All men are not men, as we've clearly read in Genesis 18, because he said there were three men. But and the Lord said, shall I hide? The Lord is talking. And that word Lord means Jehovah. Look at Genesis 18:20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is so grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Now hold up, time out. So you mean to tell me the Lord God, or at least Jehovah, that's the definition of the word Lord in that verse, look just like me and you. Because when he gets there, again, read Genesis 19, because when he gets there, Jehovah gets there, they want to have sex with him. They said he was a good-looking, handsome. The three dudes that showed up to all the homosexuals, they don't want women. They want them dudes. This is like, I mean, Genesis 18:22, and it says, and the men Okay, which one is it? Are they men or are they gods? Or are men gods? Okay, that's that too deep. That hurt your brain. I understand. Now let's break this down again. Genesis. I'm reading. This is in your Bible. Do not believe me. Do not believe me. Read it yourself. Genesis 18. Let's go back. 18:20. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord is speaking here, brothers and sisters. Is that is it the Lord speaking? Well, the scripture says the Lord speaking, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down there myself and see whether they have done this altogether according to the cry of it. That means God himself said, I'm going to come down and check it out. Check this out. Which has come up to me. And if it's not so, I will know. And if it is so, I'm going to know. So God is like, I'm going to come down and check this out myself, man. I'm not going to go by hearsay. Genesis 18:22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the men leave and they go on to Sodom. But Abraham and the Lord, they hanging out. Genesis 18:22. Y'all got to read it for yourself. Genesis 18:23. And Abraham drew near and he said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" So Abraham, the men, I'm assuming, because remember it was three, at least one, because one of the three men was Jehovah, the other one was Adonai, and the third one was a mortal that is sickly and feeble. That just simply means, I'm assuming, a regular dude. So out of those three, the big G, if we want to use that term, the Lord, all caps, he hangs out with Abraham. That means Adonai and a regular dude, they continue on to Sodom. Verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence, and they went to Sodom. But Abraham stood yet with the Lord. Genesis 18:22. Abraham and the Lord, now, they did not go to Sodom. They stood there. Now, remember that word Lord in that scripture means Jehovah. That a lot of people assume is, or a lot of people say is the big G. Look at 23. And Abraham drew near to him, and he said, "Will thou destroy?" So Abraham pulled up the Agar, a Jehovah, you're going to kill everybody? Look at verse 24. Pre-adventure there be filthy righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the filthy righteousness that is therein? So Jehovah is talking, and he tells him the righteousness that's there, that you call righteousness, it's filthy righteousness. It's righteousness, but it's filthy. Now, I wish I had time to break that down. That's deep. That word filthy is a very, very interesting word. It has to do with soldiers and men. It has to do with the multiplication. It is actually, in the Greek, it means, and let me play it real quickly, and you guys got to look this up for yourself. It's really profound.
2572, Hamoshim,
that means 50, it's a number, 50, so the number 50, in it's the Hebrew word, it means 50, it means the cardinal number, it means to multiply with 50, 50, yeah. Now, that gets into 7 times 7, 49, add 1, 50, that's the Smita. That's the year of the Jubilee. Now, I got a good hunch what that means, but, you know, we'll say that for Monday. But notice he says, therefore, there's filthy righteousness in the city. And he's asking, you're going to destroy that too? Or God is saying that, hey, there's righteousness, but it's filthy righteousness. It's 50 righteousness. Verse 25, Genesis 18:25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So Abraham is saying, hold up. You like the big cheese mo. You Jehovah. And you mean to tell me, because the righteousness is there is 50. There's only 50 righteous people. Could that be what they're saying? Another study for another time. 50 filthy righteous people. So you're going to kill them because it's just a small number? Because apparently that's what Jehovah was going to do. Look at verse 8:26. And Jehovah and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteousness or righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, out of all the whole city, Jehovah says, man, if I can just find 50 people doing something right, I'm going to spare everybody. Verse 27, Genesis 18:27. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken up on me unto the Lord, which am I but dust and ashes. So now Abraham has an epiphany. Abraham is like, oh, shiznit. I'm talking to the big G. What the am I doing? Now he realizes, he's like, whoa, hold up. I'm just talking to God like he's just a regular dude. It says, Abraham answered, behold, I have taken up on myself to speak unto you like you just a regular dude. I said, that's what I would do. In fact, that's what I do. Because why? That's what Abraham did. Abraham is the patriarch of everything that we call all of the Abrahamic religions. He's the patriarch of the Abrahamic religion. And he's talking to God just like me and you talking right now. And then he has an epiphany. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm just dust and ashes, and I'm talking to the big G. Verse 28, pre-adventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteousness. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if there be 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. So it's like Abraham, he has a spark of overwhelmness, but he's still negotiating on behalf of men. He's like, okay, what about if there's just, you know, what if we are 5 off? What if we, you know, what if we, I know we said 50, but what if we only got 45? Will you still spare the city? Verse 29, and he spake unto him yet again and said, pre-adventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40. So he said, not only 45, but even if there's 40, look at verse 30. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Pre-adventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if there are found 30. Notice what Abraham is doing. So he's like, he's Jewing God down, so to speak, or Jehovah down. He started at 50. Then he went to 45. Then he went to 40. Now he said, Abraham is a negotiator, man. I ain't mad at him. Look at Abraham. Look at 31. And then he said, behold, I have taken upon myself to speak to you. He's like, oh, man, since I'm talking to you, since I got, you know, I got enough courage to speak, and since I'm here and you listening, we might as well keep this thing going. So he said, okay, verse 31, what if there's only 20 found there? And he said, I will not destroy it if there's 20. Verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry with me. See, he knows what he's doing. It's kind of pissing off Jehovah, but he's still rolling with it. He's like, oh, I'm still going. But remember, is this Jehovah? I don't know, because I thought it was 3 men. But the 3 men, one's Jehovah, one's Adonai, and one's a regular dude. But we don't know which is which. But according to the story, this one, he's talking to the big G. He's talking to Jehovah. And then he says, okay, what if there's only 10? We started with 50, now we're down to 10. Jehovah said, I will not destroy it if there's 10. Verse 33, Genesis 18:33. And the Lord went his way. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communicating with Abraham. And Abraham returned back to his place. So Abraham did not go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Please write that down. Let me say it again. Abraham, so we know the dudes that go to Sodom and Gomorrah, they were, one of them was not Abraham. So when those 3 men in verse 19 get to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19, everybody that's a man they ain't a man. Some men ain't men. How do I know? Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two. Hold up, time out. I thought it was three. Genesis 18, 1, three men. Now we get to Genesis 19. So the Lord, the two men left already. The Lord stayed back. He hung out with Abraham. Then him and Abraham drew God down from saving the city with 50 down to 10. And then Abraham said, shit, I'm out. I did my job. I'm going home. Hang out with my wife. We got babies to make. So Abraham go back home and get busy. Where now two men? No. Genesis 19:1. And then there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, remember, Abraham saw these three men at the gate or standing at the tent of his. But Lot is at the city gate, like Lot was expecting some company. So Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot seeing them, he rose up, just like Abraham, to meet them. And he bowed himself, just like Abraham, with his face toward the ground, just like Abraham in Genesis 18, Genesis 19, 2. But in Genesis 19, 1, these are not men. In Genesis 19, 1, the men either turn into angels on their way, or we're talking about two totally different things. Because notice the two that appear in Genesis 19, they're supposed to be the same as Genesis 18. Genesis 18, one was Jehovah. The other one was Adonai. The third was a regular dude called Enosh. But in Genesis 19, we got two, and these are, let me pull this up. These are not the same. We got two Malach in Genesis 19. Now remember, the same people that was in Genesis 18 is now in Genesis 19. But Malach means angel, messenger, ambassador. Strong Concordance number H4397. Please look it up for yourself. Please prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong. Genesis 18, Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Strong Concordance number H4397. Strong Concordance number H4397. It means messenger. It means representative. It means angel. It means a theophanetic, theophanic angel. Now, I wish I had 7 hours to break down that one word, because I'm going to break it down on Monday. Your theology would be destroyed. I mean, not yours, but, you know, people you know. Now, remember, this is the same dude, supposed to be, because the story said that Genesis 18, the three left, but one of them got lost, I guess, on the way, because only two shows up. And the two that shows up, they are, let me pull this up, let me get the correct pronunciation, because this is profound to me.
Theophany.
So that word, Maluk, means theophany. And theophany. T-H-E-O. You know, that means God. And then funny, P-H-A-N-I-C. Theophany, C-O-Y. That means a manifestation. That means theo and then P-H-N-Y. I don't know if y'all ready for this. Y'all ready? It means theo, it means deity, in a form that's visible. Let me say that again. It comes from the Greek word that I talk about all the time. That's a watered-down version of my name, which it means skios, or skinos is the word, P-H-A-I-N-E. It means finding, it means to show. It means a shadow that can be seen. Now, when we break that word down, guess where it comes from? Phantasma. Remember the series I did on phantasmagoria? Oh, y'all don't remember? Okay, phantasmagoria. What is Hollywood? What are they doing in Hollywood? What they do in Hollywood, that's called phantasmagoria. Remember the Phantom of the Opera? Same word, phantom. Now, I could break this down further, but for the sake of time, again, theophany is what this word Malnuk is an angel, but it's a special type of angel. It's a, again, according to the scripture. But again, don't believe me. Your job is to prove me wrong. That's your job. Your job is to do the research and then find if there are holes in my theory. That's your job. This word, Maluk, that's who the two dudes are. That simply means one sent messenger in the image or in the likeness. It means, it could mean prophet, it could mean priest, it could mean teacher, it could mean ambassador, it could mean king, it could mean messenger. That's what that word means, M-A-L-A-K, again, according to Strong Concordance number, H-4397. And there came two Malnuk to Sodom and Gomorrah. And even at Lot, as he sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them, he rose up to meet them. He bowed down his face. He did the same thing that Abraham did. To make the long story short, verse 2 says, behold now my lords, plural more than one. So he called the three men who weren't men. Only one of them was a, quote, unquote, what we call a man. So maybe the man departed because now we have Maluk, M-A-L-A-W-K on the scene, which is a theophany. We call it an angel. And he said, my lords, but he calls them lords, plural more than one. I pray to you. So he does the same thing to them that Abraham did. Come into my servant's house and tarry all night. Wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, nay, we will not be able to abide in the street all night. Exactly what Abraham did to the three men that are not men is exactly what Lot did to the two men that are angels. Oh, who told you men are men? Who told you that? Who told you that you are man? Because the word, who told you that? Who told you that you are a human? Underneath the word man, we find different definitions depending on what scripture we read. Now, underneath the word Lord, we find different lords. It could be Jehovah. It could be Adonai. It could be something else. Because Genesis 19:2, that's plural. And that word lords in Genesis 19:2, it's the same underlining word for Adonai.
1:13, Adon. Adon.
So that's Adonai. Because that's the underlying word for Adonai. It means adorn, A-D-O-W-N, adorn. That means a master. That means a king. That means the superintendent of one's own house. That means the manager of one's soul. Someone who has mastery over the flesh, over the self, over the mind, the will, emotion, imagination, intellect. It refers to Lord or King. So those two angels, an angel is someone who's considered, oh, man. An angel is someone who's, again, according to Genesis 19:2, behold my lords. They had mastery over purpose, over destiny, over themselves, over their mind, will, emotion, imagination, and their intellect. And he called them lords, but the spelling is not a capital L. And it's not all caps. In Genesis 18, the word Lord was a capital L. And then in some verses, there was a capital L with a little O, a little R, and a little D. That's huge. Because in some verses, it's a capital, all caps, capital, all capital L, all cap O, all cap R, all cap D. That always refers to Jehovah. So we got a word, little L, little O, little R, little D. It's talking about someone who has faith mastery. Someone who knows their purpose, they know their destiny, they're a messenger, they are sent as a theophany of God in the appearance or in the image or the representative or the ambassador of Christ. Or God, back in the Old Testament. And that appears, but notice how they treated them, though. Lot did the same thing to them that they did to Jehovah, because they couldn't tell the difference. They looked exactly the same. How do I know? Genesis 19:3. And he pressed unto them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and he did bake them unleavened bread, and they did eat. Exactly what Abraham did in Genesis 18. Genesis 19:4. And before they lay down, the men of the city. What was the woman? Okay, another study for another time. And then the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed or compressed the house round about, both old men and young men, all the people from every quarter. That means all the men from Sodom and Gomorrah came over to Lot's house. Verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may be known unto them. Why, brothers and sisters? Verse 6, Genesis 19:6. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and he shut the door after them, or after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly. Because what they wanted to do to these men, well, they wanted to have sex with them. Verse Genesis 19:8. Behold now, I have two daughters. So Lot is negotiating. He said, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And you can do, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Verse 19:9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. Verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house with them, and they shut the door. Lot is outside. These dudes inside of Sodom and Gomorrah was in such a wicked condition that they wanted to get to know these two men. Lot offers them his own daughters and throws them under the bus and says, hey, dude, take these girls, man, do anything you want. And they were virgins. They had not been with no man before. And the dudes said, we don't want them. We want those two men. And Lot was out there getting ready to get smoked, and the two men, the two angels, was like, man, they grabbed him and pulled him back into the house because they were getting ready to break down the door. Verse 11, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Okay, obviously, these ain't men. Because when you look at the definition of what came from Sodom and Gomorrah, when we go to Genesis chapter 19, verse 9, and they said, stand back, I say thee. This one fellow came into the house, and we basically want him. And it said they pressed up on the man, even Lot, and they came near to break down the door. So the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was offering his daughters. Genesis 19:18, Lot says, and maybe Lot didn't know, that these men wasn't men. Because he presents his daughters, and that word daughters in the Greek is the word B-A-T-H, like the English word bath, B-A-T-H. And that means girl, adopted, it means daughter, daughter-in-law. It was a designation for a, you know, a feminine or for a female. So these were, in fact, real women. But the word man for the men inside Sodom and Gomorrah is a different word for the man that appeared in Genesis 18. So the word ish is spelled I-Y-S-H. The word in Genesis 18 is spelled E-N-O-W-S-H. Let me say it again. Genesis 18, that the man that was with the Adonai, and that was with Jehovah, or Yehovah, was E-N-O-W-S-H. But the men that were in Sodom and Gomorrah are I-Y-S-H, which is a similar, but it's a derivative. It means male, servant, mankind. Other word, and I'll pull that up. Again, remember this word, male, servant, other kind. You know that word is only appears three times in the Bible. That type of man, all men, who told you all men are men? All men are not men. That type of man appears three times in the Bible. Psalms, again, your job is to prove me wrong. That's your job. Prove me wrong. Don't believe a word I'm saying. Prove me wrong. Genesis, look it up. Psalms 141, verse 4. Psalms 141, verse 4. Proverbs 8, 4. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. That is the only time in Scripture where you really see that particular type or definition as the forefront or the primary definition of the word man. So there's many different types of man. That's the whole purpose of today's message. There's many different types of man. All men are not men, or all men are not the same. So the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were different from the man, because the word E-N-O-W-I-S in Genesis 18, that man went, that means mankind, collective whole. That means a group. It's talking about the group. This ish, this word, that's talking about an individual. That's talking about a man. It's talking about a servant. It says great man, and it says male. The other one was more of a general term. This is, it says a man as an individual or a male person. The other word for man was more of a group or a collective whole or a group of people. It's extremely important, because we just say man and we just think we're saying the same thing every time we see the word man. So the two men put forth their hand and they pull back. Now, that word man for the men inside the house and the word man for the men outside the house should be the same, right? No. Why? Those men were the same men that was in Genesis 18. So the definition in Genesis 19:10 should be the same definition of Genesis 18:1. Just look it up. Genesis 19:10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot back into the house. So the men that was inside of Lot's house, H, Strong Concordance number H582. What were the type of men that was inside of Lot's house?
H582. Enosh.
Boom. Drop mic, exit stage left. Two different types of men outside the house and a man inside the house, according to the Bible. Let me say it again. The men that was outside the door was a different man that was inside a Lot's house, based upon the Bible. Let me say it again. Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while. All men ain't men. There's different types of men. Verse 11. And they smote the men that were at the door. Genesis 19:11. They smote the men that was out, that were at the door at the house with blindness, both small and great. So obviously these men, they wasn't just your average Joe. Or you wouldn't want, you, in other words, you wouldn't want to get into a fight with these men on the street. Verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou any besides son-in-law, and thou sons, and thou daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." So these men tell Lot, get your sons, get your daughters, Get whatever you got in this city, because we're getting ready to get out of this place. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord, and the word Lord is not the same as in the beginning. It's not a little L-O-R-D. It's not just a capital L with a little O and a little R and a little D. This is all caps, L caps, O caps, R caps, D caps. Genesis 19, verse 13. That word Lord is Jehovah. It says that what was going on, Jehovah didn't like it. Whatever was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, which we know was primarily homosexuality, Genesis 19:13, he says, we will destroy this place because the cry of them has waxed great before the face of the Lord. Now, the Lord was just talking to Abraham in Genesis 18:1, just hanging out with him. They were just shooting the shiznits. Unless the scripture's wrong. Now, Genesis 19:4 says, and Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord, Jehovah, will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked until his sons are mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Notice they were not consumed in the sin of the city. I've been saying this for years about the difference between the word iniquity. God punishes and destroys because of iniquity, not sin. Proof, Genesis 19:15. Look it up for yourself. Do not believe me. Your job, prove me wrong. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wives and thy two daughters, which are in here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Okay, what is iniquity? Well, there's a difference between iniquity and sin. So iniquity is strong concordance H5771. Iniquity has to do with the consequences or the punishment or the guilt of a condition. Iniquity has to do what is called mischief. It talks about mischief. So iniquity has an underlying Greek word to give us more definitions, more meaning. It has to do with what is called depravity. I love the way John Calvin talks about it when he talks about tulip, total depravity. Iniquity has to do with total depravity. Sin has to do with living without your purpose or your destiny or your diakonia. Sin or iniquity has an underlining Greek word. Let's pull that up. Ava. So the underlining Greek word is ava for the word iniquity. And ava means to distort. Ava means to twist. Ava means to pervert. Ava means to go wrong or do wrong. So it's about, ava is about doing wrong. That's iniquity. Sin is about living without purpose, the ability, the thing that allows you or prevents you from doing wrong. So iniquity and sin are very close, but there is a difference. One means the inability or the ability to twist the truth. It has to do with the word. It really means, it means crooked or troubled. The city was crooked. The city was troubled. The city was perverse. That's iniquity. The city had bowed down. It was bent. It wasn't straight. The city was not doing its purpose from the perspective of in a manner that allows it to bring about fruit or completion. So the city was not doing what it was designed to do. The city was not supposed to be homosexuality. It was because of the iniquity. He says, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Genesis 19:16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his life, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, they was inside the house. They was taking too long. The men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him outside the city. Now, you want to talk about teleportation? How did they get outside the city? It's almost like they teleported outside of the city. I'm not saying that they did. All I'm saying that they was in the city, and next thing they know, they was outside of the city. Verse 17, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thy or thee in all the plain or in plain sight. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. And this is a different, different Lord. It's not all caps. What am I saying, brothers and sisters? We know this, what the end of the story, they go back. Lot's wife, I think, looks back. Bam, turns to a pillar of salt. But notice who got out of the city. Lot, his wife, his two daughters. The son-in-laws, they didn't make it. Why? When Lot came to them and told them, hey, let's go, they thought he was joking around or playing around. So they missed out. The emphasis on today's message is kind of an intro for what we're going to be breaking down on Monday is, as I said before, food ain't food. What you put in your mouth is not food. It's genetically modified organism. It's man-made concoction. It's this, that, and the other. But guess what? Your body, it's not fuel for the body. All men that you think are men are not men, as we just read. All men that we believe are men, they are not men from the perspective of what a man is based upon the biblical text. All money is not money. All religion is not religion. All health is not health. A lot of stuff that we have is not the stuff that we're supposed to have. So we got to return back to the original. That's what I do for a living, is I break words down as we just broke down. And so we know that the word Lord can mean a lot of different things. Because in Genesis 19:18, when Lot says unto thee, oh, be it not so, Lord, it's the word Adon again. But it's not the word Adonai that it talks about in Genesis 18. Now, that could be a huge difference, or it could be a little different, but it is different. And then it's not the Enosh or it's not the Ish. We talk about man. And then some words, the word Lord is Jehovah. What am I saying? I'm just saying in a biblical narrative, you have to go underneath the words because a lot of times we'll use the same English word that means a lot of different Hebrew words. We'll use one English word to describe five or six different Hebrew or Greek words. So your job is to do didactic study, to break down the word to its original, to find out the true meaning of the word, because English is a watered-down language. English is like coloring a picture with one color. Greek is like coloring a picture with three colors. Hebrew is like coloring a picture with seven colors. So you can color, you can add more definitions and understanding with more colors. The picture is clearer with more colors. That's all I do for a living, is I just paint a clearer picture. Because clarity equals currency. The more clarity, the more currency. The less clarity, the less currency. So who told you, we already talked about biology, and we talked about the word theophany, which means a manifestation or an appearance of God as a person or to a person, which is the underlying meaning for one of those men that turned into two. So we don't know of the three men in Genesis 18, one of them dropped off. But if only two shows up in Genesis 19. And then they weren't referred to as men in the beginning. In Genesis 19:1, they were referred to as Maluk Maluk, M-A-L-A-W-K, which means messenger or an angel. Oh, what am I saying? I'm just saying this: when you see the word man, it doesn't mean man. When you see the word Lord, it doesn't mean, again, Jehovah. It could mean Adonai. It could mean El Shaddai. It could mean Elion. It could mean Elohim. It could mean a lot of different things. Your job is to do your due diligence and study to show yourself approved unto God. Because brothers and sisters, as we will find out, a lot of things that are given to you in the English manipulates the Greek and the Hebrew. Or it's not the best translation. It's a transliteration. You lose a lot of the meat in the translation of the words. This is not about right or wrong. This is about having clarity or understanding, which allows you to move forward and live in a life that's Christ-like. That's the end game. The end game is for all of us to do what Jesus did, because Jesus said we should do the things that he has done and even greater things. So that's my goal, is to do what Jesus did. That should be your goal as well. That's the purpose of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. That was the purpose of today's class, is so that you can have a deeper understanding that because they told you all men are men, all men are not men. The scripture even says, be careful when you entertain men or when you entertain strangers unaware, because you may be entertaining angels. So, brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers. Again, the new series starts on Monday. The private pay-per-view series starts on Monday, March the 4th. We're going to probably kick it off about 7 p.m. That series, we are going to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the cosmology of the cosmos grotor. In my father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you. We're going to break down the great falling away. We're going to break down the cross, and we're going to break down the Lamb of God, the blood of God, Yahushua, in the beginning. We're going to go through, and we're going to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify, so that way you can get a deeper over under and understanding of Christ eternal within the body, or God eternal within the body. So this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
That right.
you don't get it, better be the call, you'll find it.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through.